What's good? What's good? I am back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Of course, you know, now I do sports in the morning, and later in the afternoon, I'll do a react that I upload pretty much to YouTube and also go live on TikTok early in the morning while I'm doing sports. But with the react, I won't be going live on TikTok because they can't see what I'm reacting to on TikTok because I do my podcast through StreamYard. All right, so let's get into last night's scores. We had a nice amount of games. I mean, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, at least 10 games or more last night. I'm going to try to go through it a little quicker since there's more. Denver beat Washington 118-104, and they should have. Michael Porter Jr. put up 21. Jokic put up 31, 17 for Murray. Bruce Brown gave you 14 off the bench. Okay, we got 25 from Kristaps Porzingis on the Wizards side. And Denny Avdija, I think his name is, gave you 16. You didn't get much from the Wizards at all. We had the Knicks played the Heat. Knicks lost to the Heat, 127-120, which I think they should because a healthy Heat is definitely better than the Knicks on paper. You got 26 from R.J. Barrett, 15 from Randall, 25 from Jalen Brunson. Quentin Grimes gave you 22. Jimmy Buckets still gave you a 35-piece wing dinner, as Kendrick Perkins would say. 15 from Bam Adebayo with 7 rebounds, 3 assists, block steal. 22 from Tyler Hero, 19 from Gabe Vincent. And Kyle Lowry, who came off the bench, gave you 14. Okay, next game we got the Pacers and the Toronto Raptors. Pacers beat them 118-114. Benedict Mathurin gave you 15, 16 from Turner, 13 from Buddy Hield, Andrew, what is that? Nembhard gave you 25, and TJ McConnell gave you 14. And Raptors, Pascal Siakam gave you 31, 23 from Jakob Poeltl, and 28 from Fred VanVleet. Let's pull up some of these other games. We had Golden State Warriors and the Mavs. That was a close one, 127-125. Warriors won, of course. We get 14 from Draymond, 12 from Looney, 20 from Steph, 22 from Jonathan Kuminga, who was actually leading scorer. With Jordan Poole giving you 16, and Curry also gave you 13 assists, and Looney gave you 12 and 12, double-double, and then Reggie Bullock, 15, 13, former Tar Heel, always got a shout-out my former Tar Heels, Dwight Powell gave you 13, 12 from Josh Green, and 30 from Luka, Christian Woods, 19 off the bench. And Jaden Hardy gave me 27, man. If they just had Kyrie Irving, they probably could have won that game. Probably should have won that game if they had Kyrie Irving. We got Houston Rockets and the Grizzlies. Of course, the Grizzlies won, and they should have. Even without Ja Morant, the Grizzlies should be beating the Rockets. And we got, let's see, 37 from Jaren Jackson Jr., along with 13 rebounds. And 2 blocks, 1 steal, 20 from Desmond Bane. Ja played, but he didn't start. But he gave you 17 off the bench. And Tyus Jones gave you 14. And David Roddy gave you 13. But damn, Jaren Jackson had a game with a 37 and 13. And then you got 32 from Jalen Green, 14 from Kevin Porter Jr. And these European cats with their name, Aperin Sengun, gave you 25. Jabari Smith Jr. gave you 16 and 31 from Kenyon Martin Jr. They're just still – the Houston Rockets are just too young still. They have no experience on how to win. They really don't. They really, really don't. What's this other game I skipped over? Yeah, Chicago and the Sixers. Of course, the Sixers beat them 116-91, which they should. We got 20 out of Tobias Harris, 12. That's the thing. Embiid was able to take a relaxation night, it looks like. He only shot 7 shots. Well, he only played 16 minutes, though. That doesn't look good, though. So I got to check on that. Embiid might have got hurt and had to go out. Sixers are going nowhere without Embiid. Maxey gave you 21, 25 from D'Anthony Melton. And P.J. Tucker doing P.J. Tucker things only gave you 5 points as usual. And, I mean, the Bulls didn't really do nothing, man. You got 16 from Zach LaVine, 14 from, what is that? Ayo Dosunmu. Derrick Jones Jr., 10. Like, the bench scored all the points for Chicago last night. Chicago is definitely going to have to make some major moves in the offseason. Like, I expect a lot of people to be hitting the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. What other games we got? We got Spurs, Milwaukee, Atlanta, Minnesota, Portland, Utah. That's the thing. Ain't with so many games left in the season. Only like 9-10 games left in the season right now, so... We got Spurs and the Bucks. The Bucks spanked them 130-94. And, of course, rightfully so, they should have. Spurs are definitely – you know what? Devin Vassell played, but, like, hold up. Spurs got 5 players inactive. Devontae Graham, I would think, should be a high-minute player for the Spurs right now with what they got. Keldon Johnson did not play, injury. And knowing Pop, that could be like, you know, it could be like just trying to sit him out and trying to, you know, lose games to get that higher pick. Because at this point, the Spurs, they don't stand a chance. Middleton gave you 19, 31 from Giannis, 11 from Lopez, 7 from Jrue Holiday, 14 from Joe Ingles, and 19 from Bobby Portis. They're going to be a tough team come playoff time with Bobby Portis and Ingles, their first two guys off the bench. Jrue Holiday, Grayson Allen, Brooke Lopez, Giannis, and Chris Middleton. Makes for a nice lineup. And to be honest with you, you could be starting Joe Ingles over Grayson Allen all day long, but I think it's smart that you got Joe Ingles coming off the bench. And then with Bobby Portis, I mean, they literally gave you 33 off the bench with just them two. And Portis gave you 10 rebounds. I definitely got mad respect and love for Bobby Portis as a player. I watched some of his interview the other day in the Chicago thing. Like, the court of public opinion needs to really stop with this just assuming – things about a person's character just because, you know, one situation or one issue pops up, especially in sports. Like, Michael Jordan punched Steve Kerr, you know? So what? It doesn't mean nothing. It's part of building a championship team. Okay, what other scores we got to look at here? We got Hawks and T-Wolves. Karl-Anthony Towns just came back and hit a game-winning shot to win the game. Hawks are definitely the big disappointment in the East. You got 16 from Hunter. Collins gave you 16. Clint Capella, 11. Bogdanovich gave you 11. And 29 from Trae Young, who was a negative 13. And I saw a story today talking about the Hawks trying to get rid of John Collins to free up some space to go after Jaylen Brown. Like, why would Jaylen Brown leave to go play, leave Jason Tatum to go play with Trae Young unless he was promised more of a significant, more shots and more money. More shots and more money. I mean, what else would it be? And I'm pretty sure, like, Boston, if they don't get Jaylen Brown a nice chunk of money, man, they're stupid, because he could be a game changer for whoever picks him up. I mean, the right team picks him up, he could be a game changer. And you think a team like the Warriors won't go after him? You crazy. They will. The T-Wolves, you got 25 from Jalen McDaniels, 22 from Karl-Anthony Towns, 12 and 12 from Rudy Gobert, which is all you need out of them, 9 from Kyle Anderson, and Mike Conley gave you 13 and 15 for Torian Prince. And, of course, Anthony Edwards did not play, and they still won. And they get Anthony Edwards back with a healthy Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, I still like to see what this – we don't know what that team could really be, because Karl-Anthony Towns has been hurt, like, all season long. So we don't know really the full potential of the T-Wolves. My phone is over there blowing up. It's not like I got notifications and emails coming in. Portland played the Jazz, and they beat them 127-115. Thibault gave you 6, 21 from Watford. Yusuf Nurkic gave you 20, 24 from Shaedon Sharpe. And they need to give him more minutes anyways. And 30 from Damian Lillard. And Cam Reddish gave you 11. And he still, I mean, he got 21 minutes. But, damn, you over there in Portland now and you can't even get more minutes than Shaedon Sharpe. What does that tell you? What does that tell you if Cam Reddish can't get more minutes than Shaedon Sharpe? Shaedon Sharpe played 39 minutes, man. That's more than anybody on the team last night. And he put up 20, only 24. Leading scorer was Dame Lillard with 30. So Cam Reddish, Kevin Knox put up 24. He's another cat. Like, how you've had plenty of opportunity to show, you know, do you got really what it takes? And I don't think Cam Reddish really got, he's a nice rotation piece, but that's about it. This idea he should be a starter, man, is bogus. Suns played the Lakers. And, you know, nobody thought the Lakers was going to win this game. I saw everybody talking about it yesterday, all the sports analysts and debaters. Nobody thought the Lakers stood a chance. The only reason they won this game is because of Austin Reeves again. So that should tell you something right now, man, about the Lakers. Austin Reeves right now is either their second or third best player if he keeps this up. I like D'Angelo Russell, but he's a roller coaster. He's up and down, up and down, up and down. And Anthony Davis all year is up and down, up and down, up and down. Roller coaster, man. And I think he's going to be gone at the end of the season. I don't think he wants to be there anymore. I don't think it's fun playing with LeBron anymore to him and whatnot. Let me look at the standings after this game. Lakers are back in the 10th seed. They'd have to play Dallas. Minnesota's in the 7th seed. Minnesota, this is the thing. Clippers, with Paul George being hurt, they're in the 5th seed. The Warriors could move up to that 5th seed, and the Clippers could fall out, man. They could start losing a ton of games. I could see Minnesota probably falling into that 6th seed and not even having to make the play-in with Karl-Anthony Towns back. Okay, see, they're still young, you know. They're still young. It doesn't really matter if they get in or not. They're not going to beat, you know, Denver or Memphis. And Phoenix, I mean, they're still at 4, but, I mean, they need Durant back. They're in the middle of the pack. Kings, I'm not sold on the Kings because of what happened to them the other day when they played Boston. They got spanked by Boston. I mean, you go over the East, you got Milwaukee still at number 1, Boston at number 2, Philly at number 3. Hopefully, Joel Embiid ain't hurt. Let me see. I don't see nothing on NBA.com about that. And oh, that so I did see something about that. Mavs filing protest over loss to Warriors. Embiid exits first half with right calf tightness. Hopefully that's nothing. Hopefully he's okay. That's the team I want to come out the East this year is the Sixers. I like the Sixers to win it all this year. I would really like the Sixers to win it all. To be honest with you, I think the perfect NBA Finals this year, just to silence any critics, just for the MVP argument's sake, I think the ideal situation this year is the Denver Nuggets versus the Philadelphia 76ers. Jokic versus Embiid. Winner takes all. Even though the MVP will be, determined based off the regular season and before the playoffs or before the finals begin, But still, I think, if it's they go and play each other in the finals, I'm pretty sure no matter who wins the MVP, everybody's going to clearly say if the other guy wins the NBA finals that he was definitely the better player all year long, the MVP, most valuable to his team. That's why I like to see Denver versus the Sixers and get some new blood in anyways. We need some new blood in the NBA finals, man. The Sixers the Suns were just there and they had a chance and they blew it. The Celtics were just there. They had a chance and they blew it. And the Celtics have been there a shit ton of times. And of course the Warriors just won last year. They've been there a shit ton of times. That's what I want to see. Denver versus, the Sixers. And it's probably, and I would be shocked if Milwaukee comes out the East this year. I really wouldn't. I think everybody's still quietly overlooking and just forgetting about Giannis just because he don't got a jump shot. But who cares? I mean, Giannis is clearly one of the most dominant players in the NBA. One of the most dominant players ever in the NBA. He's had his high usage has been so ridiculously high with Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday's hurt. Because it has to be. I mean, we're going to rely on Grayson Allen, a Duke player, a Duke Blue Devil to take over the game? I might have some Carolina Tar Heel bias in there when I say that. If it was a Kyrie Irving, I might be saying I wouldn't be saying that. I'd be thinking differently because Kyrie can take over a game. I want to go over the Eastern Conference's most disappointing team this year has been Atlanta. I think in the West, it has to be the Lakers. It has to be the Lakers. Because there's always just so much hype around them. So much hype around them. And I'm just looking at the bottom of the standings. My Charlotte Hornets are 14th in the East. They're almost dead last. They won't make that last because we keep winning games that we shouldn't win. We don't need to win. The Pistons are 16-57. That'd be crazy if the Pistons get Victor Wembanyama. That'd be so crazy. Then you got, Pistons are the worst in the league. They got 16 wins. You got Houston with 18, Spurs at 19, and then the Charlotte Hornets at 23 wins at 14th. We got the fourth best odds to get the number one pick. If we could get Victor Wembanyama, man, if I'm Michael Jordan, I might would reconsider selling my stakes. I might will reconsider selling my majority stakes if Charlotte Hornets could get the number one pick. And that would be a great it would be probably a great year for North Carolina if the Hornets got the number one pick and the Panthers got the number one pick. even though I'm more sold on the number one pick in the NBA and the number two pick. That's the thing. We only need at least the number two pick. We could just get Scoot Henderson to go along with LaMelo Ball, P.J. Washington, Miles Bridges comes back. Hopefully he don't get locked up or anything, depending on how the case goes on. You know, and I don't make allegations or nothing like that or whatnot. So we definitely need him back. You know, get rid of Terry Rozier's contract for probably some veteran shooters. Get rid of Gordon Hayward's contract for some veteran defensive players. Like try to get a P.J. Tucker or something like that or something, man. You know. But, yeah, and let me check out NFL. I don't see no NFL news that's really newsworthy to talk about right now. Nothing that's happened that's a difference maker. I didn't talk about Jalen Ramsey to the Dolphins. I still don't think this gets the Dolphins over the hump because it's riding on Tua's, you know, shoulders now. Because this is the thing. There's two ways you win a Super Bowl. You either be a very good, smart game manager with a dominant running game and a dominant defense. And a defense has to be more dominant than a running game. But, like, the only team that's won the Super Bowl with the number one rushing in the NFL and the number one defense was the 85 Bears. There hasn't been a team like that since. You know, you had Walter Payton, and then you had the defense you had with Singletary and Richard Dent and Steve Mongo McMichael and Ron Rivera and everybody they had, you know what I'm saying? So you got to have a dominant running game and a super dominant defense and a very good game manager. Or you got to have a pocket passer of a quarterback. Because this thing, when you're a running quarterback and you're down two touchdowns, three touchdowns, you can't run. You can't just run it up the field and come back. That just burns too much of the clock. You got to be able to take these riskful passes. You got to get something long up the field, a good, you know, 30, 40 yarder, 50, 60 yarder, and, you know, score fast. That's why it's hard for – we've never really seen a dominant running quarterback win a Super Bowl yet. It is yet to be done because once you get the Super Bowl and you're down, you gotta kind of be like a 50-50 guy. You got to be – and I would say 60-40. You got to be able to pass a little bit more better than you can run. You got, and that's the thing. A lot of these dominant running quarterbacks, they're like 70-30 guys. They're like 70% running and 30% passing, you know. Patrick Mahomes is like a 60-40 guy, 70-30 guy, you know. Like Tom Brady was like a 90-10 guy, you know, passing and ran 10% of the time, maybe even 5%. It's probably 95% five, you know, when you break it down to percentages and whatnot. So, yeah. I'm still not seeing no moves in the NFL where I'm like, oh my gosh, this team right here should be favored automatically and whatnot. So once again, I want to thank y'all for tuning in. Paul Pickett Podcast, and I'm out.